Why did the United States invade Iraq? Falling buildings, oil, weapons of mass destruction, or maybe it wasn't any of these reasons. One theory suggests that Iraq was in possession of a Stargate first used during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. There's also evidence that they had knowledge of the giant Nephilim Gilgamesh and his tomb, and ancient artifacts with supernatural powers. The 2003 invasion of Iraq was a military action led by the United States and its allies, which resulted in the toppling of President Saddam Hussein's regime. In the years leading up to that invasion, Saddam Hussein had an obsession with rebuilding Babylon and being the next Nebuchadnezzar. Inside the abandoned Babylon that Saddam Hussein built. In the 1980s, during the Iran-Iraq War, Saddam Hussein became obsessed with the Babylonian ruler Nebuchadnezzar, who's notorious for waging bloody wars to seize large swaths of current-day Iran and Israel. Saddam saw himself as a modern reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and to prove it, he spent millions building a massive reconstruction of Babylon. Here's where the Stargate theory comes into play. While Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon on his journey to be like Nebuchadnezzar, there's theories and claims that he had found the location of the fiery furnace told to us in the Book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Israel in the year 589 BC. After the attack, he had taken back to Babylon three very faithful followers of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One day, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that when a horn blew in the land, everyone had to go and bow and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego disobeyed this order and would not worship the false idol. This led Nebuchadnezzar to throw the three men into a fiery furnace, burning seven times hotter than they had ever burned it before. While in the fiery furnace, Jesus came and protected the three men so they weren't harmed. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." This fiery furnace being the location of a supernatural event, or what some people are claiming is a Stargate, or a location to a portal or the spiritual realm. The claims that are in support of this theory are saying that the person who came and helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was an extraterrestrial. But what makes more sense to you? That an alien came and helped these three men, or the God whom they so faithfully served, even in the face of death, came and helped them? The latter is what actually happened. Looking at the life of Nebuchadnezzar, we can confirm this, something Saddam Hussein sadly didn't incorporate into his own life. Nebuchadnezzar accepted the God of the Bible as the truth after witnessing multiple miracles, including what happened at the fiery furnace. "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." The fiery furnace being the location of a Stargate for an extraterrestrial is not what happened in that situation, and most likely not the reason why the United States invaded Iraq. But theories that Iraq has possession of evidence of Nephilim or ancient supernatural artifacts or the tomb of Gilgamesh has a lot more evidence to back up those claims. It's disturbingly easy to buy Iraq's archaeological treasures. U.S. forces invaded the country 15 years ago this week and left behind a booming trade in looted artifacts. When the United States invaded Iraq, there's claims that one of the first things that they did was raided museums and locations that had ancient artifacts. Iraq War. When Baghdad fell, the country's treasures were lost. U.S. forces failed to protect Iraq's cultural heritage after the 2003 invasion, leading to thousands of artifacts disappearing. It happened early in the U.S. invasion and quickly. On the 10th of April, 2003, the first looters entered the National Museum of Iraq as American troops advanced into Baghdad. Over the next 36 hours, these thieves ransacked the institution, which was founded in 1923 and dedicated to preserving the country's vast heritage. The New York Times called the looting of the museum and its invaluable collection of archaeological artifacts, many of which dated to the early days of human culture and civilization, one of the greatest cultural disasters in recent Middle Eastern history. Though the museum staff were able to safely store over 8,000 artifacts with little external support, still more than 15,000 historical objects disappeared within 2 days. A lot of testimonies have come out by people engaged in the initial invasion saying that archaeologists were present with the military. Multiple testimonies have stated that when entering these museums and other locations housing artifacts after the initial raid showed that the artifacts made of gold and silver with high monetary value weren't taken. It appeared that they knew exactly what artifacts they were after, and these may have had supernatural origins. One of the main things the military may have been after was discovering the tomb of Gilgamesh, a Nephilim offspring of the fallen angels, who was said to be 17 feet tall. This might sound like a wild conspiracy theory, but a Freedom of Information Act connected to Hillary Clinton's emails in 2018 had a very peculiar email within its pages, requesting documents pertaining to the resurrection chamber of Gilgamesh, the location of his body, and the location of the buried Nephilim. Gilgamesh was a hero in ancient Mesopotamian mythology. He was also the historical fifth king of the Sumerian city-state of Uruk. Gilgamesh was viewed as a god and ruler of the city-state Uruk, and depictions of him show that he was a giant, famously holding a lion like you would a normal house cat. People have sought out supernatural powers since the beginning of time. Locating the tomb of a Nephilim like Gilgamesh may have been the reason why the United States invaded Iraq. We now know that the initial reason for the invasion, Iraq having weapons of mass destruction, turned out to be not true, and no such weapons were ever found. This may have been the cover story to invade and locate a connection to the fallen angels and their offspring to utilize their power. In 2003, around the same time of the initial invasion into Iraq, the BBC released an article saying that the tomb of Gilgamesh had been located. Gilgamesh tomb believed found. Archaeologists in Iraq believe they may have found the lost tomb of King Gilgamesh, the subject of the oldest book in history. In the book, actually a set of inscribed clay tablets, Gilgamesh was described as having been buried under the Euphrates, in a tomb apparently constructed when the waters of the ancient river parted following his death. We found just outside the city, an area in the middle of the former Euphrates River, the remains of such a building which could be interpreted as a burial. The most surprising thing was that we found structures already described by Gilgamesh. Practically no more information has been released on that discovery since that initial article. The United States' involvement in stealing artifacts out of Iraq has become well known since the initial invasion. 20 years after the US invasion, where are Iraq's antiquities? Thousands of artifacts are being shipped back to Iraq, but many more were taken during the post-invasion looting. The years following the United States invasion of Iraq in 2003 saw large numbers of antiquities stolen, both from museums such as the Iraq National Museum, but also because of illegal excavations at archaeological sites throughout the country. The coordinated effort of invading Iraq over false pretenses, going straight to museums, looting artifacts from a region that's one of the oldest in the world, and actually partaking in archaeological digs ran by the military sure looks like they were after some sort of specific items. 13 years ago, the TV show Decoded aired an episode on the Spear of Destiny. The Spear of Destiny is the name given to the spear that pierced Jesus Christ's side while he was on the cross, being crucified for the sins of the world. This clip may shed some light on certain organizations and groups of people seeking after artifacts that they believe will give them supernatural power.
And he wound up being one of the people that I drove and bodyguarded for.
Right, and someone you knew and got to know.
Very well, yes. Okay. He says, well, what would you think if I told you that he was the one who stole it from me?
And your boss,
yeah,
stole the Spear of Destiny from Adolf.
Yeah, well, he says my boss was part of a group. They call themselves, what I was told, was the B'nai HaNephilim, the Sons of the Fallen, Disciples of Lucifer. And just so that you understand, they believe that God of the Bible is evil. And they believe that Lucifer is good.
This when, is his, your boss's secret
is,
cabal.
This is their
believes
secret.
That the God that we all know is the bad guy.
Is the bad guy. That spear is the one that they believe when the temple is rebuilt in the city of David, their man, the person that they had handpicked, was at some point going to walk into the Holy of Holies, take the blade and shed his own blood, and then proclaim himself to be the Messiah. And then these Sons of the Fallen, they plan on ruling the world.
Now, the key thing to me is you don't believe that Lucifer's the good guy in the story.
No.
You're not trying to tell us that all this happened, but you're saying that whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. But the idea is that these people still exist today.
They still exist today.
They're still out there now.
As far as I know.
And they're still either hunting for that spear or have that spear.
That's what they say.
It makes sense that power-hungry individuals would be seeking after supernatural power if they could attain it. And it appears that there are people who are looking for supernatural artifacts or any connection to the fallen angel bloodline, the Nephilim, that they can find. This has led many people, myself included, to be skeptical of companies like 23andMe and these ancestry DNA collection companies and what they're actually doing with the data that they collect. Is it possible that they're in search of specific bloodlines or even looking for Nephilim DNA? Whatever the case is, it has recently come out that 23andMe did not keep their users' DNA collections private. A large privacy breach took place with over 7 million of their users' information being leaked. There are people who don't like God, people who think that he is the bad guy. Some of these people might be out there looking for supernatural objects or Nephilim fallen bloodlines to try to personally usher in the Antichrist, who will be accompanied by supernatural power signs and lying wonders. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Attempting to attain supernatural powers isn't a new concept. In the ancient past, in modern-day Iraq, formerly known as Babylon, there was a king named Nimrod. This king and the people who lived there attempted to construct the Tower of Babel, a tower they wanted to build to try and exalt themselves up to the level of God. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. People tried to exalt themselves up to the level of God then and failed, and they will try again in the future and fail every single time. The end times war of the Battle of Armageddon is the kings of the earth gathering together in the Valley of Megiddo to try and fight Jesus Christ at his second coming. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. But just like Nimrod was defeated, the Tower of Babel destroyed, and the people scattered, Jesus will easily defeat these armies with just the word of his mouth. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Stargates, portals, supernatural artifacts, there's evidence that these things do exist. The world is more supernatural than many people believe, and this will only increase as we head into the future. People will try to harness supernatural powers and use them for their own purposes, trying to exalt themselves up to the level of God. But they will continue to fail just as they have every single time in the past. Even the Antichrist and false prophet, who will get closer than anyone else to attaining such powers, will ultimately be thrown into hell along with Satan, the fallen angels, and anyone who rejects Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 describes Jesus' absolute power and how he will with ease destroy all evil off the face of the earth. Jesus is the only one you want to be following and putting your trust in. His power is above everything created. His word alone will destroy all the forces who try to rise up against him at the Battle of Armageddon. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.